Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. So glad to have you on the journey with us today. I'm going to speak about a very important topic that impacts most of our listeners. The topic is money and marriage, because most people write me and they have some type of stress in their marriage relationship based upon financial issues. In fact, I think that may be close to the number one issue that people write me about. And oftentimes the way the issue is expressed is exactly backwards of the real problem. For instance, money is complicating our marriage. That's what most people think, that the problem is with the money. Well, the reality of it is that managing money is a pretty simple task. That's not very complicated. But what happens is that marriage complicates money management. I want to say that one more time, because I'm going to talk about this the entire program today, because it's so important to understand the difference between money complicating your marriage and marriage complicating your money. So my premise is this. I'm going to say it one more time for you. Money is not the problem. Managing money is a pretty straightforward issue. But marriage complicates the financial issues. Marriage complicates the money issues. Let me give you an example. Maybe it'll make more sense. Suppose you're a tennis player and you're an absolute superstar tennis player in singles. But one day the coach or the team that you play for needs you to play doubles. Maybe another player is injured. A big match is coming up. Lots riding on the tournament. And the coach says, "Will you play doubles?" Well, you say, "Sure, no problem. I'd love to play doubles." Now, this is exactly what happens when you get married. Two people who were formerly singles players, individuals, having their own strategy and their own approach to the way they played the game, now have to play as a team. And most people fail to develop a common strategy as a doubles team. And that's why everything becomes more complicated in your life, especially making financial decisions. I've always said the two tests in an early marriage are putting up wallpaper together and playing doubles tennis together. And from those two examples, I have learned a lot, and I'm going to share that with you today. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about how marriage complicates financial decisions in your household. Stay tuned. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Moms these days are busier than ever, working hard, taking care of things at home, making sure your children get to all the places they need to go. Often the only downtime is waiting to pick up a child from school or practice. Did you know that while you're sitting in your car, you could be taking care of your family's finances? You can with Crown Envelopes, the online and mobile money management solution from Crown Financial Ministries. It's the anytime, anywhere way to manage your money and eliminate debt. With Crown Envelopes, you can use your laptop or cell phone to easily and securely access your budget and actually plan before you spend. There's even a free trial. Find out more about Crown Envelopes by logging on to crown.org. Don't let your busy schedule keep you from managing your money wisely. Look for a free trial of Crown Envelopes at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're talking about how marriage complicates your money, how marriage makes financial decision-making very difficult. Now, I'm using the example of going from a singles tennis player to a doubles tennis player. So let's imagine that you're very good at singles, and you're called on now to play in a doubles match. Well, here are four things that need to change. And if these four things don't change, you're probably going to really struggle playing doubles tennis. Here's the first one. You have to have a change in strategy. Now, if you're playing singles, you can play the whole court. You can cover the whole court. But if you're playing doubles, someone has to decide which side of the court they're going to play and stay on their side of the court. In other words, you have to make an adjustment. you no longer play the whole court. You don't dominate the game. You have to have a strategy that one person is going to play their forehand or backhand, play their strengths, and execute on a common strategy. Now, after you've had a change in strategy, the second change is to recognize that you also have a change in your role. You're now dependent upon someone else's performance. You're no longer dependent on yourself, and you're going to have to adapt to somebody else's performance of a responsibility that was formerly yours. The third change you have to make is you have to have a change in your attitude. Most people who play singles tennis, it's pretty straightforward because they're competitive and they want to beat their opponent. But in doubles, you have to start with being cooperative before you can actually become competitive. So the spirit of cooperation with your partner has to be the change in the way you approach the game, because you'll never be competitive until you're cooperative. And that's why couples get beat with their finances over and over and over again, because someone still has the attitude that it's up to them and they're not cooperating. And then the final change is a change in tactics. You have to acknowledge that both players have a set of weaknesses. You know, that is so hard to admit, but no player is complete in and of themselves. And if you acknowledge your weaknesses, then you learn to avoid those in your strategy and then find out what the strengths are and change your tactics to major on your strengths and to hide or minimize your weaknesses. So let me go through those four changes again, because we're going to flip these over and apply them to making good financial decisions as a couple. A change in strategy, a change in your role, a change in your attitude, and a change in your tactics. All right, let's go through them. A change in strategy. When you became married, the Bible says the goal is for two to become as one. Now, that process actually only begins the day that you get married. It's not completed the day that you get married. That's the starting point. So you've had years of being a singles tennis player. And on the day you're married, if you try to remain a singles tennis player because you were so good at something and you ignore that you now have to change your strategy, you are going to have significant problems. So the biblical mandate is to begin to work together and to have a strategy that we're going to do this together. And in fact, there are no shortcuts. There are no ways to work around it. When you're married, it's going to require you to work together. Do you realize that so often many no-named single players win major doubles tournaments? For instance, teams who've won the Wimbledon doubles tournaments for years and years, people had never heard of them. You know why? Because they were far better at working as a team than superstar individual players who couldn't adapt to becoming a good doubles player. So you do not have to be a superstar to make a great team player. In fact, the less you see yourself as an individual contributor, the more likely it is that you're going to develop a team strategy. Number two, a change in roles. Many times, someone in the household assumes they're the best person to deal with the money. But I've always said, in most homes, in most marriages, somebody's a very good offensive player, meaning they're good at earning the money, and somebody's usually a better defensive player, meaning they're better at protecting it, at managing it, at paying the bills on time, and at keeping track of the budget and all the details. Now, you're probably saying, hey, Chuck, you don't realize it, but I'm married to a total opposite, and all she does is point out my faults, and she knows all that I do wrong. And in fact, if you go back to the tennis illustration, what makes it painful sometimes is your wife can actually see your double faults, and she points those out pretty quickly, that you're not doing a great job. But I knew how to serve well in tennis. I had a very strong, powerful serve. My wife didn't. She played the net far better than I do. She's very quiet. You think she's not going to be real aggressive at the net, and suddenly she puts the ball away. But we had to come to the point where we realized we were very different, and we appreciated and respected each other for what role we were able to play. Here's the third change, a change in attitude. You have to become cooperative. You can no longer talk about choices when you get married. You know, when you're dating or engaged, you can talk about all the things you like and all the things you hope and dream for, and it sounds really exciting. And then you get married, and suddenly you have to make a decision. You can't just talk about the flavor of toothpaste you like. You got to go to the store and buy one. And now your differences are highlighted because decisions point out that you're very different people and you make decisions every day. So you must have a method to make decisions, to minimize the friction and stress and complication of making decisions, and to have an attitude that I don't have to get my own way. That's why in James, he says very directly what causes fights and quarrels among you. You want your own way. And until you learn to make decisions together, that your attitude is, I don't have to have my flavor of toothpaste when we go to the store and buy some. I need a flavor that we can both agree on, or a way to make a decision that we're both benefiting from how we're using the money. That attitude will go a long way to taking the stress out of your marriage. And then finally, a change in tactics. How do we win with the team that I have? It's a non-negotiable that you're going to stay together as a team. So what financial tactics will cause this team to be successful at managing money? And when we come back, I'm going to walk through these four changes and apply them to making wise financial decisions so that your marriage gets uncomplicated. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
It can be a challenge at times to talk with your spouse about money. Husbands and wives have a harder time discussing finances than just about anything else. God doesn't want money to divide relationships. He wants your marriage and finances to grow stronger. Learn how in Money and Marriage God's Way, a new book from Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Howard Dayton. With unique sections for engaged couples, blended families, empty nesters, and even stay-at-home parents, Money and Marriage God's Way addresses common problems using biblical principles and practical advice. And as a bonus, there's a companion website with tools including a thorough online assessment to help couples understand their financial personalities in order to work together and solve their money challenges and set financial goals. Get Money and Marriage God's Way at 1-800-722-1976. An audiobook is also available at 1-800-722-1976 and crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're talking about how your marriage impacts your finances, how your marriage complicates your financial decisions or the way you manage your money. My premise is this, that money doesn't complicate your marriage. Good financial decisions are pretty simple, but when you get married, it becomes far more complicated because marriage complicates those decisions. Now, when there are complications, that leads to stress. And when there's stress, it leads to conflict. And when there's conflict, it leads to some very poor decisions. And when you have poor decisions, you're going to have painful consequences. So let me give you some examples of that. On the change in strategy, if a home exists where there's two strategies, and I've seen this many times, especially in dual income families, where everybody's busy, and I understand that, and there's very little time to sit down and to discuss how are we going to manage our income. Well, you're probably thinking now, we know how we do that. One of us likes to spend it, and the other one likes to save it. We don't have a strategy, therefore there's stress, there's tension, there's no unity. There's no agreement, and we never have time to get to it. So the strategy is off from the beginning. Secondly, we've never changed our roles. So conflict begins right there. And one person says, it's my money. Another person doesn't like that attitude and becomes very protective. It creates worry and suspicion, and it leads to arguments and fighting. Because you haven't agreed that you have a different role and responsibility of how to manage your money as a team, and therefore conflict begins. And then there's no change in attitude. There's now no cooperation. Now there's no discussion. There's no talking. There's no trying to find common ground. So one party decides they're just going to spend because it's their money and they've earned it. Now, the other party in that scenario starts to feel threatened and unloved. They start to think that things must be more important than the relationship or the marriage. And you see a guy go out and spend a lot of money on his own entertainment, whether he's buying, you know, the four-wheel drive truck or the boats or the expensive toys. And then you've got sometimes a wife who goes out and spends money on the kids or buys new wardrobes frequently or does a lot of entertaining. And the attitude becomes, we're not going to cooperate. I'm just going to pay for myself with my money. Because our attitudes are such that we don't trust each other. We're not going to talk about it. And then your tactics suddenly start to fall apart. And there comes a day that you realize you've made some really bad choices. You've run up credit card debt and not told the other party. You've brought home a purchase that offends or threatens someone else in your home. You've made a decision in regard to a promotion or a job change, and there's no communication, and now there are painful consequences. You see, financial problems begin to mount, and if you never deal with them, then you go into this survival mode and you say, I'm now in the I'll show you what's right mode, or I'm married to a financial fool mode. I can't tell you how many emails I get with that scenario, that the person I'm married to is a financial fool. Or you get into the I'll never trust a man with a joint checking account again in my life mode. You name it. But when there's no strategy, there's no role clarity, there's no change in attitude, and there's no clear financial tactics, problems are going to arise. And what should be simple becomes complex and painful. So there's my case. Marriage complicates money. But this issue could actually become easy when you follow the plan that God designed for us. And the plan isn't that one of the other dominates and says, I'm going to have it my way because I'm smarter than you. That happens in many relationships. And that creates friction and stress, and it creates animosity and strife. But a much better solution is to go home tonight, get in a quiet place. Maybe you ask the kids to go in another room where you can just have time one-on-one. Have your favorite dinner, maybe a cup of coffee, and say, honey, I want to talk about this. Can we develop a common strategy when it comes to this issue of money? And be the first to ask, what strategy would you like us to take? What would you like to do to help bring us onto the same page? Because right now, it isn't really working. And I want to deal with it. And let's define our strategy. And by the way, I have a recommendation that God's way is better than man's way. And I'm not here to sell you or to manipulate you to do it my way. I'm willing to do it God's way. If we could just discover that. But what are your thoughts? How could we get on the same page? And then secondly, I'm willing to play a different role. The way we've been doing it isn't working. Could we eliminate this conflict and get over the it's my money syndrome and worrying about how we're doing this and having stress at the end of every month and being under this kind of financial bondage? I'm ready to be the first to change. I think I've made some mistakes, and I'd like to correct that. And thirdly, I'm willing to change my attitude and be much more cooperative. I owe you an apology. I'd like to get on the same page with you because I love you very much. And I need you and the strengths that you bring into this relationship and the contributions that you make. And I want to start listening. I want to start being kind when we have these discussions. And let's change our tactics and make great financial decisions. And let's dig out of this hole and let's turn a new chapter in our life so that together our children begin to see that two of us are becoming as one. And the blessings and the fruit of that begin to spill over into our home, and peace returns and financial margin returns, and we can relax and we can begin to achieve things in life other than just keeping the bills paid. I hope you'll have that conversation, and I hope this talk will help you get there. When we come back, I want to give you some more suggestions. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today, we're talking on money and marriage. We'll be right back.
Want to use your home computer to help you manage your money God's way? Well, all you need is Crown Money Map Financial Software from Crown Financial Ministries. With Crown Money Map Financial Software, you can create a realistic spending plan and use a virtual envelope system to follow daily. And since it's based on the Crown Money Map, the software will help you build up your emergency fund, pay off debts, create balanced budgets, manage investments, and complete other steps that'll move you forward on your financial journey. Crown Money Map Financial Software is loaded with features to make living on a spending plan easy and secure, including the ability to import transactions from your bank so you don't have to enter them individually. Crown Money Map Financial Software is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. For specific system requirements or for a free trial version, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976 for more information. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and if you're listening today and this message is beginning to hit home and you're thinking that maybe God is urging you through the Holy Spirit to begin to have that conversation, that first step of reconciliation, that first step of seeking to redeem what's been broken and allowing the Lord to make it right, I'd like to give you a few more pointers that I hope will help you to take that step. Once you ask your spouse, whether you're the man or the woman listening right now, but once you decide you're going to set this up and have this conversation, then make the first step to say, let's have a common strategy. Now, if the question comes back, well, what in the world is that strategy? Just say, I would like to move out of the trap that we're currently in and the bondage that we're both in, that we're suffering through together, and help us to move into God's economy. I want to live God's way. And God has His own set of financial rules and principles, and here they are. I'd like to see us agree that God will be our only Lord and Master, that we will commit to following His ways and learning His plans and applying His ways to our life. You know, the Lord is the head of both the man and the woman, and we're to mutually submit to Him. And then we're to submit to one another. And the Bible says that as your wife, I'm called to respect you, which I want to do. I want to start over and make it right and respect your opinion. And if you're the male, you need to say, and the Bible says that I'm called to love you as Christ loved the church. And I want to love you in this area where we're having so much pain. And I want the two of us to become one under His lordship. Because what we're doing today is not pulling us together. I don't want to condemn you. I don't want to criticize you. I don't want to disrespect you. I just want to move to a new place, and I'm willing to do my part. And here's the second part of that strategy, that we'll agree to make financial decisions in regard to how we earn a living. We'll relook at that to be sure that we're doing the right things that are within our giftedness and God's calling for our lives, that we're not just stuck in the hamster wheel of going around and around and around, going to work every day for no purpose and simply getting nowhere. And then we'll manage what God gives us and use it as faithful stewards. And then thirdly, that we will become a generous couple and that we will make financial decisions that leave a legacy of generosity. And that we will not just strive to get out of financial bondage personally so that we can benefit, but our motivation will be so that we can be a blessing to others. Could we agree to that? My estimation is that if you will go in with that attitude and lots of prayer, you will come out a different person from that conversation. I hope you have that conversation, and I hope you let me know how we can help you to take those next steps. Thanks for tuning in today. I pray this has been a blessing to you. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.